All right, y'all. Hey, if we've not had the chance to meet, my name is Pastor Taylor. Everyone say hi, Pastor Taylor. And I'm just going to tell y'all, I got a lot of energy tonight. Turn to your neighbor and say, he got a lot of energy tonight. You know what that means? It means that I might roast you. Somebody say, uh-oh. So you better pay attention. You better be locked in. We're going to have some fun tonight. Tonight we're talking about worship. Somebody say worship. No, come on. Somebody say worship. All right, I'll tell you this about Pastor Taylor. Pastor Taylor preaches better and faster when you talk back to me. Can I get an amen from somebody? I'm going to need y'all to talk a little bit more, right? Y'all want to get out of here because we got family night tonight. Y'all down to hang out at family night? There's going to be popcorn. They got any popcorn fanatics in the place? All right, there's a couple of y'all. How many of y'all? I want to poll the room. Kettle corn or butter? Raise your hand for kettle corn. Ooh. I'm just going to pray for all y'all. And the butter people, where you at? There's my people. Butter is like one of my love languages. As a kid, I had a problem where I would get butter sticks and I would eat it like a Snickers bar, homie, and then play no games. And here's how I knew I married the right one. Y'all, can I tell you a little bit about my wife? She's sitting right up here front corner. She's in the gray chair, red hair. I'm going to tell you all about my wife. That's how I knew she was the one. I go over to dinner, and I'm having dinner with her parents. I'm so nervous. I'm a high school boy, right? Do I have any high school boys in the place? Nope, that's what I thought, right? If you're a high school boy and you get a little nervous, you get a little sweaty, right? You get a little clammy, your hands get cold. And I remember them telling me over dinner that Erica used to love butter as a kid as well. And the way they told me this story is that Erica, when she was little, she would reach up into the butter container and just grab fingers, and she would eat it. And the best part is her parents thought it was their cat, so they threw their cat out because it kept getting into the butter. So Erica loves butter, y'all. She don't play. We're going to have some fun tonight. So somebody say, that's weird, Pastor Taylor. That's weird, Pastor Taylor. But we're gonna talk about, hey, how many of y'all were a part of Tribe Wars? Any part of Tribe Wars? Let me hear. Which team ended up winning? Which team won? The yellow team ended up winning. How many of y'all yellow representatives do we have here? Okay. There's some, he's still wearing yellow. He's just rubbing it in everybody else's face, right? Who came in second? Black. Yeah, they were here ready to rock and roll. They're the only team sitting on the front row, which means that they're going to get more blessings from the Lord. All y'all sitting in the back, y'all missing out. Plus, I'll tell you this, I'm more likely to roast people in the back than I am in the front. So can I get an amen, Carter, right? Can I get an amen matching your dad's hair over leading prayer tonight, right? Love, Carter. Here we go. Tonight we're talking about worship. And the reason, let me before I jump into that, oh man, David was going hard tonight. He lost two picks. You lost two picks tonight, David. He was so nervous. Didn't the worship team do so awesome tonight? Come on. They did awesome. Mix was awesome. Emily was leading worship again. That was awesome. So we're super excited for that. But the reason we do Tribe Wars, somebody say Tribe Wars. The reason we do Tribe Wars is because life is really hard. Can I get an amen from somebody? Can I get an amen from somebody who's had a hard class or a hard teacher before? Right? So here's the thing. Life is really hard, and it's even harder when you do it by yourself. And a lot of y'all think you're strong because you do life by yourself, but you're actually making yourself weaker by doing it by yourself. If you've ever worked out by yourself and you try and set a max or a PR, there's this thing that'll happen, and maybe you're going for a bench and you're like, oh man, I'm feeling good today. We gonna bench the bar today, homie, right? And you go to bench the bar and maybe it's a little bit too much weight. Maybe it's a little bit too much going on, and then you push and it pushes back and it just stays on your chest, right? And that's how some of y'all live life. You live your life by yourself, and then when you get stuck, you stay there. You don't have somebody who can help you get through that, lift that weight off your chest. But that's why we do Tribe Wars. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about worship. Somebody say worship, right? And can I tell you this? Me and you are called to worship. Okay, me and you are designed to worship, and I'm going to spend the next little bit talking about it. But before I jump in, y'all down to pray? Y'all down to pray? I need y'all to talk to me here. I need y'all to talk to me, Abby. I need y'all to talk, okay? Y'all bow your heads, close your eyes, pray with me. Jesus, I pray tonight over service, Lord, let my words fall to the floor and only yours remain. Help us to be focused. Help us to not be distracted. Help us to not talk during prayer, because that's really important time to not be talking. Yeah. Jesus, we love you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen. Turn to your neighbor, give him a fist bump. Turn to your other neighbor, give him a high five. Awkward, right? Tonight we're talking about worship. I'm going to read a verse to y'all. How many of y'all brought your Bibles? Let me see. Let's go. The church is a good place to bring your Bible. Somebody say, duh. Right, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says this: therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. Right, allegiance is a little bit of a weird word. We only know the word allegiance by pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Right, y'all don't even know about that life, right? Like that, back when I was growing up, they made us stand up. And then if you go to a Christian school, y'all, this is wild. There's a Christian flag. Did y'all know this? And then there is a pledge of allegiance to the Christian flag. I don't even know it, but I read my Bible, homie, so we good. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know it, but I'm gonna be like, I'm there with you in heart, bro. Like, you got your own. But I remember this word, allegiance is kind of an intimidating word, but really allegiance just means commitment. Means I'm committing. That means through our worship, we prove our commitment to Jesus. So here is the question I want to ask. What is worship? Talk to me, somebody. Praying. Okay. Praising God. You can't use praise to define worship. We call that praise and worship, right? You can't be like, what is math? And you're like, numbers. Right, like, no, that's not what it is, right? What is worship? Somebody talk to me. Connection. Worship is connection, right? What is worship? Is worship interpretive dance? Well, I've seen some of y'all worship, and I think it looks like it, right? I've seen some of y'all believe worship is do as little movement as possible. Love you, God, but I'm not moving, right? Or maybe it's get distracted. Maybe worship is talk to your friends. Or maybe it's worship is like singing as loud as you can. Right? Some of y'all whisper. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. I love in worship, there's the development of people's worship life. Right? They start down here. Right? And they're like, nope, not doing it. Not doing it. And then David will say, lift your hands. And you're like, holding the TV. Right? I'm a waitress, right? And then we get to like here, like I'm extending out, take the present, right? And then we get to like here or one hand, hey, ho, right? So I put my hands up to, never mind. That's not a worship song. Maybe it's a worship song. I don't know. Some of y'all, never mind. Careful. Break. It's been a while since I preached, y'all. Let me teach you, if you haven't been here before, one of my favorite things to do is when Pastor Taylor is getting a little fired up, I'll ask a question. I'll say, gas or brakes? And most people, because they want me to say something that roasts somebody, they'll say, gas, right? Or if they want me to keep going or like, hey, that's good, Pastor Taylor, they'll say, gas. And very rarely, but there are some times when I need a break. Hello, I need a break check, right? And I don't even know where I was talking about. I was talking about worship. And then we get to the field goal. Right? It's good. Right? And then we get into like the whirling dervish. Right? And if you've never seen that, it is wild, y'all. You suddenly like have to like start dodging hands during worship, right? It's pretty awesome. But there's a development that happens in the place of worship. And what I want to coach you on is how to develop your worship life. I think we all know like, oh, I should pray more. I should read the Bible more. But some of y'all could go to a new place in your depth of worship. Some leaders in this place could go to a new depth in their worship. Some people who've been walking with Jesus a really long time could go to a new depth in their worship tonight. Psalm 95, 1 through 6 says this, oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. And here's how you fit in, right? Sometimes we get frustrated. How many of y'all can sing in here? Raise your hand. Half of y'all are lying. How many of y'all can't sing? Raise your hand. My people. And here's the thing. Here's where I find myself in the Bible. Y'all ready? Psalm 95, 1 through 6, it's up on the screen, says, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise." Some of y'all can't sing, but you can make a joyful noise. Hello. Right? Right? You can make a joyful noise. And some of y'all get so caught up in, "I don't sound like him, so I can't worship," when worship is about your heart, not about how you sound. Worship is about me saying, "God, you're better than my vocal cords, but I'm going to give it to you anyways. God, you're worth it." "Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountain are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the land." Here's what I think worship is, okay? I'm going to sound it out, okay? Worth-ship. Worth-ship. What worship is giving worth to something. You are raising the value of something when you will worship it. You are taking something that might be here, and when you worship it, you place it up higher in your heart. Okay? And that's what I define worship. Here's what it is in a service or in a context of your life. Worship is us giving attention to God because he deserves it. We don't worship God because he needs it. I love your interpretive dance. I love you singing K-Love in the car. I love you, whatever the thing is that you choose to do as worship. But God does not need your worship. He doesn't get a hit off of your worship. He doesn't go like, "Ooh, that feels so good. Oh, man, I needed that to get through today. Man, I needed that for me to be good in your life." He doesn't need your worship. And the reason why that's so important is because we sometimes maybe think, I can hold my worship back because God didn't do something for me. God, you let something bad happen in my life. I'm going to hurt you by not worshiping. And the only person who loses is you. The only person who loses is you. Because the Bible actually says that if you won't worship, if all people across the world stopped worshiping, the Bible says that the very rocks would start worshiping God. Y'all, talk about brick city, right? Like, talk about basket, right? Like, that brick, like the rocks themselves would begin to worship God if you stopped. Worship isn't about us giving God something. Or it's not even about his ego being so big and he needs you to sing to him. We worship because it's the only appropriate response to who God is. We worship God not because of what he's done, but because of who he is. God, who is so good, he's so kind, so loving, so forgiving. Hello. Right? If you told somebody every single bad thing you've ever done in your life, they might not forgive you, but God has. Woo! Right? If you went and you bore your heart out to somebody and you said, "This is every bad thing I've ever done. I stole from my grandma." Right? Right? I stole from my family. I took advantage of other people. I lied. I cheated. I hit somebody. I physically abused somebody. I took advantage. I did all these bad things. There would be some who would not forgive you. There'd be some who would look at you and be like, "You're horrible. You're disgusting. I can't believe you would do something like that." But do you know what God says? "I forgive you. I love you." Guess what? There is no thing, no height, no depth, no sin, no past, no future, no experience, no thing that has happened to you or you have done to others that will separate God's love from you. That's the kind of God that we worship. Even when we are most unlovable, he loves us and provides and takes care of us. Can I tell you this? I'm going to simplify worship even more. Worship, for me, when I come into a place of worship, it is me taking and evaluating my entire life, the good, the bad, the past, the present, what the future might be, and evaluating all of that and going, "God, you're still good." Woo! Some of you are like, "Pastor Taylor, you're really getting deep tonight." Yes. We've been playing too many games. I'm here to punch people in the face, right? Right? Here's the thing is that this is so important to you because I think one of the major distinguishers of somebody who knows God and has a relationship with God is their worship. Some of y'all say you know God, but you worship like this. You're like, man, God has done so many good things for my life. Man, I love God, but you look like this. And then here's the crazy thing. You'll then tell me about how, like, you have this incredible dynamic relationship with, like, a boy or a girl, or how you dream of that one day. You dream of, like, man, my wife and me are going to have just an incredible marriage, but you can't even show love to the person who loves you unconditionally right now. But when I get into that relationship, Pastor Taylor, it's going to be so magical. We're going to be able to have sex. Yes. It's going to be so magical. It's going to be so magical. Actually, that means you need gas because if you're scared of the sex talk. Because it's actually something that God invented and that we can actually lean into it because it was God's design and the world has taken it and manipulated it and made it gross and weird when really it was a gift. Hello. Somebody say good morning, Pastor Taylor. Right? And here's the thing, is that I think in our relationship with God, it actually models what our relationships will look like long term. How we worship God when we come into, hello, when we come into a Wednesday night, when we come into a Sunday morning, we're like, man, it's just the same old song. What are you going to say when you've been married for 3 years? It's the same old girl. Ooh. Oh, you guys don't like that, but you treat God like that. Right? But you'll go into your, like, you'll be like, man, I'm going to date this person, and you pursue them, and you sacrifice, and you love on them, and man, I'm going to pursue them. But God, who sent his son to die for you, you can't even give attention to. You have a space created for you, and you waste it every week. Hello. I love you. I love you. I love you. You're like, this is awkward. No one's ever said that to me. Come here, you need a hug after service. So, worship is us evaluating, right? And one of my favorite things about my wife is she's a little bit Latina. Do I have any Latinas? A couple of Latinas? Okay. And I don't know if this is a Latina thing or just an Erica thing, but she is constantly flipping stuff on Craigslist and OfferUp, right? I don't think it's a Latina thing. I think it's just a her thing. I don't want to be like racially whatever, but like, I'm just saying, like she, I have never seen somebody who can flip stuff like that. Like, I mean, one day she's like, oh man, we don't use this desk. And she, next day, the next morning, she has some 85-year-old man coming up and he's like, here's $100. And he buys this desk that we only paid $50 for. Y'all. That's favor from the Lord. But true, Judah, isn't this so true? She flips stuff like crazy. Judah at one point in time had a little go-kart, right? He had like a little go-kart when he was little, and then he rolled it and broke his wrist.
Aww.
Right? And when he rolled it, right, he's like, I will never drive it ever again. Only Ford Focuses for me, right? So he's driving this thing, he flips it, and next thing you know, Erica gets it back up, gets it all set up, and then she then sells it for more than my parents bought it for. She's a flipper, yo. But here's one of the things about flippers. Anybody in here use OfferUp? Anybody? A couple people? Okay. So as you get older, you start looking for things called deals, right? As you get older and realize the weight and cost of life, you start looking for like, hey, can I get this used, homie, right? Like you're like, I would never buy used shoes, peasant. And then you're like, hey, but these are fresh, bro, and these were used, right? I got them 50% off, right? And I think the thing is with flippers, one of the things that they do is they never go into a deal or a flip not knowing the value of something. They never go into a deal like, I'll just go. Because that's how you get into a situation where you got Cletus from Marana.
Hey, I'm selling my Xbox for $3,000.
And a flipper who has not prepared and doesn't know the value of something will walk in and go, $3,000, that seems kind of high.
Oh, no, it's a good deal, brother. It's a real good deal.
And then the flipper would be like, wait, but there's, it's like dusty. It's 15 years old. It's the original Xbox, and it doesn't even have a power cord.
But she runs real nice when she's got a power cord in her, right?
And the thing is that the reason why a flipper can make a deal is because it knows the value of an item. A person knows the value of an item. But what about when flippers find a one-of-a-kind item? Then it gets harder to value, right? Let me show you. Can I show you all some of the crazy things? I started looking up one-of-a-kind things that people have paid for. You guys want to hear what some of them are? Okay. Oh, my goodness. Okay, there was a game-worn jersey by Michael Jordan. Y'all know who Michael Jordan is, right? He's the pose, right? That's Michael Jordan, right? He's a hooper. Now he's all old and his fingers look all funky, right? Michael Jordan has a game-worn jersey that he wore in the 1998 NBA Finals, and it went up for auction, okay? How many of y'all remember 1998? That's what I thought. There's a bunch of y'all who are babies, right? 1998, many, many, many years ago, I was all of 1 year old, so. But this game-worn jersey sold, so this man's sweat stank in it, might be blood in it, like nastiness, right? Somebody paid $10.5 million for a tank top. A sporty tank top that you like crazy, right? You're like, okay, hold on. I don't even understand that number. That's crazy. That's so stupid, right? I want to tell you another one. Y'all know who Jeff Bezos is? Bezos, okay? Guy who invented Amazon, is killing the game, has so much money, it's not even funny. Jeff Bezos, just because he wanted to do a one-of-a-kind thing, built a clock that he wants to run for 10,000 years. This clock is literally almost as big as Big Ben, you know, the big, huge clock in London, this ginormous clock, stories and stories tall, and he is spending, to build this clock, $40 million. Homie, there's a brand called Nikon. It makes real nice watches, right? And you could get that, and it'll run for 1,000 years, I promise you, bro. Right? Those things that we overvalue, we will pay an extraordinary amount. So here's what I want to show you. Our worship is a direct value, is a direct comparison to our value of God. How you worship lets me know how much you value God. What your worship looks like in your private life lets me know how much value you have on God. Worship, can I tell you this, in our service is not a time filler. This is not just something that we do just to kill time. Because we could totally, if we were trying to kill time, we would just play games. We would just have fun. Pastor Taylor would preach for an hour and a half. And you'd all be crying, tears of joy. Half of y'all would be asleep. It's not to fill time. It's not just to show how awesome our worship team is. Like, that's not the goal. It's an opportunity for us to show God how much we value him. Romans 12, 1 through 2. Y'all still with me? I know it's been a while since I preached, but y'all still with me? Y'all still with me? Okay. Romans 12, 1 through 2 says this. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Worship should cost you something. If worship costs you nothing, it's not real worship. If worship is easy, it doesn't cost you anything. If worship is easy, it doesn't have any value, right? Right? If we were to compare this to a marriage, and you're like, hey, I want to marry you, and you're a girl who actually knows her worth, hello, and this bum, no matter how cute he is or his haircut is or how cool his highlights are or how nice a car he drives, presents you with a $7 Walmart ring, goes, girl, I'm going to take care of you. You'd go like, I know inflation is really bad right now. You'd be understanding. You're a godly woman. You'd be understanding, right? For a little bit. And then there would be something inside of you that goes, I'm worth more than that. Now, I'm not saying y'all are like, I need a $10,000 ring. Like, I'm not saying that. But I am saying that if you have a self-value, if you have an understanding of how much you are worth, right? If your boss came to you and go, hey, inflation is really bad, I know, but would you mind working for $1.25? you would go, I'm worth more than that. But in your relationship with God, you present him $1.25 of your effort. You go into worship and you don't even have a posture. You don't even have a heart that says, I want to worship. You're too busy talking. You're too busy looking for the other people who are in the auditorium. You're too busy looking to the left or to the right when the King of Kings is in the room. There's an opportunity to worship him and show him the value that you give to him. Holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. There are going to be moments when your brain tells you not to worship, and you have to choose to worship. That by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. But Pastor Taylor, what does God deserve? How can I compare all of the good things God has done? Or maybe you're in the season, you're like, man, God hasn't done anything good for me. If you're breathing, God has done something for you. If you're able to sit, if you were born into a family in America, God has blessed you more than you could ever possibly imagine. And maybe you'd say like, man, what can I compare God to? I can't compare God to this thing or that thing, but let me just bring some comparisons that might help, that we would compare maybe what we see in worship. How many of y'all have ever been to a concert? How many of y'all have ever been to a concert? Let me see. And there's this thing that people do when the concert's about to go off. When the concert's about to hit the song everybody knows, what do? We raise our hands. So you'll raise your hands for, oh, hello. But in this place, when you're surrendering to the Lord, you're like, nope, can't do it. My arms are tired. But then maybe like you go to a football game and you can stand for 3 hours. Oh, hello. Or maybe you can go to like your homecoming game, or you can go to the dance, homecoming dance, prom, and you can dance for 2.5 hours. Ooh, I love you. And I would maybe just say those as comparisons, because what it is we give attention to those we feel like is worth our attention. We give our attention, our worship can be more focused down into what are you giving your attention to. One of the reasons I'm so passionate about worship and why we stand during worship, if you've ever been asked to stand during worship, you're like, I'm tired. My legs. Pastor Taylor, I had tryouts today. Did somebody force you to do that? Oh, gotcha. Pastor Taylor, I've been working. Did you get paid for that? Oh. Pastor Taylor, I did chores all day today, which, you know, your parents provide a house over your, a roof over your head and give you food. Okay. And the reason why I'm so passionate is because, in just a couple of months, we're actually taking a missions trip to Kenya. How many of y'all have heard about this? We're actually taking a missions trip. We're literally going to take 50 people. We're going to go to Nairobi, Kenya, and we're going to actually build some churches. Y'all, that's legit, yo. That's legit. I don't even know what it's going to look like. We're going to figure it out. That's why I got an amazing team that's going to help me figure it out. But the thing I'll tell you about this is that I've sat with missionaries who've come into a service because they're going to preach or they're going to talk to other people about their missions field. And they'd go into worship, and they'd be standing there, and they'd just start weeping, like on the fast songs. Like, ain't nobody crying on the fast songs, unless it's a really bad song, right? Unless the worship team does a really bad job, right? Like, oh, God, that's terrible, right? Right? Most people are like, right? Like, and then of course, my favorite thing in the entire world, I don't know what this is, but, right? It's like, I don't know, guys. Like, we got tired of jumping, so we're just going to rock, Pastor Taylor, right? Like, I don't know. Or my least favorite of all time, I hate it. Here's why. Is because you're more enthralled with the ooh-ooh than God. You're more excited for that in the worship song than getting to be in a place of worship. And I'll go back to the missionary. They'll be weeping during the fast song, and I'll ask them afterwards, and I was like, hey, what? Are you okay? Like, was something going on? And they literally go, Taylor, you have no idea. It's been years since I've been able to worship. like this with other believers. It's been years because when I go to the missions field, if I were to tell other people, there's places in India that if you convert more than one person at a time to Christianity, they will have the right, the Indian government has the right to take your property from you. So like if you were talking to a couple of friends and they were like, hey, I want to give my life to Jesus, and the Indian government found out about it, they would take your property from you. You would now have no home. You would now have no car. You would now no longer have the land that you maybe owned. They have a right to take everything from you. There are places in the Middle East that if you shared your faith with others, the police would then interrogate you to know every single person that you told Christ to so that they could torture them into backing off of Christ. And these missionaries will tell me this, and I get a whole new perspective as to what worship really is. Worship in this country is not something under persecution. Worship right now as it stands is still a right. There are places in the world where it's not. And I'll tell you this. I've watched them weep in the place of worship, not because the song was so awesome, but because there is something that happens in us when we worship with other people. And as I start to close, the keys can come up. I've learned this in worship. Somebody say private. Somebody say public. There are two areas that you will have a worship expression. Private or public, right? Private or public, right? And here's what I found. If your private worship and your public worship don't line up, they don't match, they don't look similar, one of them is fake. So if you're here and you're like, ooh, 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 we magnify your name, oh God, right? And you go all hard during worship, but then at home you never even open up your Bible, you never even, one of them is fake. Or maybe you're the person who comes in here and you're so petrified of what other people will think of you if you worship. Or maybe you're just that person who is so used to worship. Maybe you're a pastor's kid and all you know is the church and your heart is hardened. Maybe your heart is hardened to the things that God is trying to speak to you. You're like, man, I don't even care about worship. I come in here, I'm two times a week. Who cares? I'm just all the time in worship. People are playing. My grandma's playing music. All my family members. I don't even care about this. I just come in, and it's an opportunity for me to talk to my friends because, you know, and you're missing it. You're missing arguably the most powerful thing that God has for you. You're missing arguably the thing that changes everything because you do it with other believers and there's something that happens in your heart. Worship is actually really hard for us to understand in our brains, but it comes really easy to our hearts. You're like, what do you mean, Pastor Taylor? If we looked at every single civilization that has ever been, if you looked at them, I'd argue that there'd be 97%+ of those societies, those cultures that have found something to worship, right? If you look back to Mesopotamia, they had different gods. They'd worship the sun, they'd worship the moon, they'd worship all these things because we as humans crave something, and that word is called purpose. We crave purpose. Man, I need to live life on purpose. Why am I here? You know, the number one most Googled question in the entire world is, why am I here? Bro, I don't know why you're going to Google, bro. You're going to get ads, homie. You're going to get promoted ads. Like, that's the number one most Googled question. Why am I here? What is my purpose? What am I? Am I just doing this just because? Am I just trying to get through life? Am I just going to school to make some money and then going to do my life and have kids and then just die because there's no purpose to all of this? That's the number one question asked. And so do you know what we do? With that question that burns inside of us, we try and find something to worship. We're like, man, I gotta make my life mean something. I have to have purpose. There has to be a reason behind all this pain, all these trials, all these things that I'm trying to accomplish. There's got to be a reason behind it. So we try and find something to worship. And I'll tell you this. Worship comes in many forms. If we were to compare some of the lives or the people in our lives, they'd be pursuing some things. There'd be some people who would worship politics. There'd be some people in our own family, some people in this room who would value politics over everything else, who spend more time talking about where this country is headed than what God is doing in their lives. There'd be more people who would separate from others because of their political party and miss maybe what God is trying to do in that relationship. Well, they're red, Pastor. Well, they're blue, Pastor. Actually, Jesus is here way before any political party, and he'll be here way after any political party. And he's actually never failed. He's never messed up. He's never dropped the ball. He's never done anything to hurt or to harm you. All he's ever done is take care of you. And maybe, just maybe, if you looked through life that way, you live a happier life. You'd find more in common than things that separate us. Some of the things that we worship, some of the things you might struggle to worship with, that I sometimes struggle to worship with worshiping, be money. Hello. Money. Money talks, Pastor Taylor. Time is money. And you spend all this time getting money, and then you have no life. You have nothing of substance. Some of y'all pursue relationship. Ooh, he's cute, Pastor Taylor. Who's your crush? And it doesn't really matter. You at 13 are not going to make a great decision and find the love of your life, probably. And if you do, you can't do anything for 5 more years, homie. Just become best friends, fist bumper, homie. Some of the things we also prioritize, we sometimes fall in love worshiping, is creativity. Oh, I just want to be creative. I just want to be in a flow. I just love the energy in this room. Why creatives are like that in my brain. I'm sorry, creatives. But we sometimes fall in love with creativity, like, man, I've got to come up with something new. And then maybe you are creative and you come up with all these things, but the Bible actually says that there is nothing new under the sun. The creatives in this room will actually tell me that. They'll go, man, I tried to come up with something brand new nobody's ever seen before, but it's all been done. And maybe that crushes you. Maybe that frustrates you. Some of the things we worship would be fame. Another word you might know is clout. Man, I'm trying to get popular. Man, I'm trying to be the biggest streamer. Man, I'm doing this YouTube because I want people to like me. Fulfillment, legacy, education. Hello. Some people spend more time in books than they do with Jesus. Some people spend more time worshiping their college education than the King of Kings. There's some who would worship pleasure. Man, I'm just trying to get some, Pastor Taylor. Man, I'm just trying to God made me this way. I've got a sex drive, Pastor Taylor. I've got to fulfill this thing. And we worship that. And I'll tell you, all of these things, they all fall short. Blood, sweat, tears. You could give it all to pursue these things. And maybe you might get them. You might get the thing that you've been pursuing. But can I tell you, when you get to getting that thing, there still be a hole inside of you. It won't fulfill you. There was a study done by a finance company. I could pull it up. But the finance company found that every dollar past $60,000 does not increase people's quality of life. So that means somebody as a household who's making 60K and the person who's making $150 million, it doesn't change their happiness based off money alone. Do you know the number one thing when people say, have you made enough money? There is 1% of the population that says yes. 99% of people say, no, I need more, because it never fulfills. It never fills that hole in our hearts. Matthew 16:26 says this, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? See, the thing is me and you are made up of three parts. We're made up of body. Somebody say body, right? That's the thing that's right here, right? It's the thing that you train. It's the thing that you feed. It's the thing that you exercise, right? It's the thing that you have to sleep, right? Can I get anybody who here loves sleep? Can I ask some people? Yeah. It's the thing that you have to take care of. And then there's the spirit. There's a spirit part of us that connects to God, the things that are aware. When some things don't feel right, it might be your spirit telling you something's off. It might be a spiritual thing. There might be some spiritual activity that you're unaware of. And you're like, hey, I don't feel. It's the thing that when you come into this room, you're like, whoa, I feel something different. You go into a worship, it feels different than a concert. When you go to a play versus when you come to a service, there's a different feel. It's not because the room is different, the AC is different. It's not that your body's telling you something's different. It's your spirit. Something in your spirit is leaping and saying, hey, this is different. And then there's the third part. It's your soul. See, the soul is where we spend too much of our time. The soul is where our feelings are at. Ooh, I don't feel like it, Pastor Taylor. And we live our lives catering to the soul when there's a whole spiritual person. There's a whole spiritual part of you that is aching and crying out to be with God. And the soul part is eternal. The spirit part is eternal. But your body is temporary. But we let the temporary thing dictate the eternal thing. Man, I'm tired, Pastor Taylor. Man, it's just, when they ask me to raise my arms get tired. When things are going on, when my legs are hurting, my knees hurt, I'm so tired, Pastor Taylor. We let our physical derail spiritual. Now, and here's something crazy, right? We will cater to the physical beyond a shadow of a doubt. Man, when y'all get out of here, Mom, I'm hungry. Can't get an amen from somebody, right? Right? You get out of here, you're like, man, I'm starving. And you've never actually talked to somebody who's actually starving. The missions trip that we're going on, I was talking with the pastor, and he's just sharing some of the things that they're navigating. And this is going to get a little real, I'm sorry, but Pastor Taylor don't pull no punches. So, but this missionary is telling me that he's got a pastor that he's coaching, who's local, who's from Kenya. And he's pastoring this church, and they have a big pastoral meeting. Like, hey guys, we're gonna get together, we're gonna get all the people together, and we're gonna talk. And this pastor goes, hey, I'm not gonna be able to make it. And so the missionary that we're partnering with, Pastor Scott, calls him, and he goes, hey man, what's going on? And he goes, it hasn't rained in our area of Kenya in 3 years. We've had 3 people pass away from thirst. And I've got to run the services. It's 3 back-to-back services. I'm burying members of our church because there's no water. And he then tells me that these 3 people lived an incredible life, right? Some of them were really young, but he goes, I never questioned them being at church. I never questioned, because whether they had water in them or not, they were giving God what he was worth. They would come into this place. It blows my mind Because we live such sheltered lives, such protected lives. These people are literally haven't drunk anything in days. And they're coming to service and still raising their hands, worshiping, going after God, being in biblical community together, and defaulting what their bodies are telling them to go after Jesus. Here's how I want to close tonight. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes all across this place? And if you're in this room and you say, Pastor Taylor, I hear you talking about all this, I hear you talking about Jesus and worship, and but maybe you're in this place and you'd say, Pastor Taylor, I don't have a relationship with God. I don't know who Jesus is. He's not the Lord of my life, but tonight I want that to change. Tonight I'm gonna give my life to God because of what you're saying, Pastor Taylor, that he's worth it. If that's you, all heads bowed, all eyes closed, this is a private moment between people and God. If that's you and you'd say, that's me, Pastor Taylor, I want you to pray with me. Would you just raise your hand up all across this place? Just raise it up. Thank you. So proud of you. Thank you. Just raise it up. Nobody's looking around. It's just you, me, and God. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. It's a private moment. Thank you. You guys can put your hands down. I'm so proud of you. If you raise your hand, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And this prayer is not crazy awesome or amazing because of the words. It's because your heart is saying, God, I'm giving up control to follow you. My plan isn't working and I'm trusting you. If you raise your hand, would you repeat this prayer after me? And if you didn't, would you just pray this prayer to support those who are making this decision for the first time? Say, dear Jesus, come on, say it with me. Say, dear Jesus, I choose you. I've messed up. I'm broken. I need a Savior to wash me and make me new. And that's you, Jesus. I'll live for you. Forgive me of my past, of my sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, can y'all celebrate those who just made that decision? Hey, would you stand to your feet all across this place? Here's how I want to close tonight. I'm not going to talk about worship and then just be like, in Jesus' name, amen, get out of here. Here's what I want to do. If you would say, Pastor Taylor, I need to go to a new place in my worship. Where I've been isn't good enough. I'm ready to go to a new place. To go, God, I'm giving you everything. God, you are worth more than what I've been giving you. If that's something you feel in your heart, I'm going to count to three. If that's you, I want you to get up here to this front of this stage. And we're going to worship. Worship is way less about feeling and way more about decision. Worship is way less about like, I'm feeling it, Pastor Taylor. Ooh, the lights are really cool. And way more about, man, I am making a decision to go, man, you know what? I'm tired. I've got all these things. I'm thinking about what I've got going on tomorrow, but I'm putting it all to the side and I'm going to give God the worth that I truly feel in my heart, that he is worth my best. He is worth me going to a place and being uncomfortable. So if that's you, I'm going to count to three. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? It's a private moment. If that's you and you're just like, man, I need to go to a new place in my worship. Where I've been hasn't been my best. I could give more to God in the place of my worship. If that's you, on the count of three, I want you to get out of your seat and make your way up to the front. We're gonna spend a little bit of time in worship. We're gonna go to a place, maybe you've been there before, maybe you've already gotten this handle, maybe you've already done everything, but you know what? I think God has something new for you. Young man, pastor's kid, man, those of you who are new to Jesus, there is something new for you tonight, and it's not on your friend to your left or to your right doesn't get to decide your worship life. You get to decide, and you can make the decision to go, man, I don't care about what the person to my left, man, I don't care that this person may be my friend, but you know what? I need this because God is worth it in my life. If that's you, one, two, three. Get out of your seat right now. Get out of your seat. Make your way up here right now, right now, right now. Come on, move. Come on, y'all. Proud of y'all. Come on, move. Fill in the front. Make room. Come on, y'all. Proud of you. Proud of you. Come on. Come on, once you get up here, would you just raise your hands? We don't raise our hands because it's something special. We raise our hands as a sign of surrender and saying, God, I give you my ideas, my plans, my hope, my future. I give it up. And I believe this, that when you raise your hand as a sign of surrender, that God ministers to your heart in a different way because you are opening it. You're saying, God, I give up my ideas or my plans. Come on, worship team. Come on. Come on, sing that. Everybody.